This is the In Focus podcast from The Hindu.
Hello and welcome to the In Focus podcast. I'm G. Sampath, your host for today's episode. The Consumer Affairs Ministry last month issued a set of new draft e-commerce rules that has some of the top e-commerce sites rather worried. According to the government, these rules seek to protect consumer interest, prevent unfair trade practices, and encourage fair competition. Among other things, the rules bar e-commerce entities from organizing certain kinds of flash sales, they bar them from mis-selling, and they make it mandatory for them to appoint a chief compliance officer, a nodal contact person for coordination with law enforcement agencies, and a resident grievance officer. On the face of it, these rules do seem reasonable, especially from the consumer point of view. But e-retailers such as Amazon and the Tatas are quite unhappy with them. And the government has now extended the deadline for public comments on the proposed amendments from July 6 to July 21st. So what is likely to be the impact of these amended rules? Will they actually benefit consumers? And why are e-retailers unhappy about them? To discuss these questions and related issues, we have with us Kazim Rizvi, the founder director of The Dialogue, a research and public policy think tank. Kazim, welcome to InFocus.
Thank you. Thank you, Sampath. Thank you so much for having me today.
Kazim, I was wondering if we can start with a quick overview of the new set of e-commerce rules and what you think they propose to achieve.
Right. So, as you said, the e-commerce rules were introduced by the government last month. And the intent is, of course, to strengthen consumer interest and enhance consumer protection, which is a great, noble intent by the government. But there are certain aspects and certain challenges with the present rules, which we are happy to discuss and take you through. I think the first of all, we are looking at the rules themselves exceeds the scope of the Parent Act and the section. So there is a case of excessive delegation, in terms of the rules being proposed. So that's number one. Number two is there is certain discrimination.
What would be the Parent Act? What would be the Parent Act you made reference to?
The Consumer Protection Act, which is within which the rules are being proposed, that looks at consumer protection issues largely. You can talk about prohibition of mis-selling, tightening grievance redressal mechanisms, etc. And those aspects are focused on consumer protection. But then, the rules are also talking about obligations of intermediary, responding to cybersecurity requests from the government, settled principles of law, including FDI regulations, settled principles of law and, issues around misleading advertisements or, issues around dominant position, privacy aspects as well. So there are certain aspects, some of these aspects, which are already being looked at in different policies and regulation and may not be within the ambit of the act itself. So there is a case of excessive delegation. Then, of course, we are looking at the rules per se. It increases compliance burden on the entities with provisions for appointing chief compliance officer, etc. Now, obviously, we should have greater compliance. There is a requirement to regulate, but it will impact the platforms and the marketplaces and all the entities which are operating. So it will increase compliance costs. That's another aspect. Then the introduction of concept of fallback liability, meaning that the e-commerce entity will be responsible for sellers' negligence to failure to deliver, is a challenge. Then you're looking at rules prohibiting conventional flash sales, but then it doesn't define what is conventional, right? Then you have the issue around e-commerce marketplaces. Entities cannot permit usage of their brand to sell certain products, right? So let's say Big Basket cannot sell a product of its own brand. That will impact ease of doing business in the e-commerce sector, right? Then you're also looking at abuse of dominant positions, and a ban on listing of products of associated parties have been included in the draft. Now, this is, of course, something which the government is already looking into, and there might be possible overlap with antitrust regulator, and the CCI is already looking into these aspects. And so one could say that there are certain aspects of the rules which are being looked at from a different regulation perspective. So there is an overlap. And then there are certain aspects when it comes to fallback liability or flash sales or increasing compliance cost that can impact the business of entities. And it can also impact intermediaries. It can impact small businesses, MSMEs as well. Right. So the idea is to protect consumers, but we should not increase the cost of operations so much that it will make it more difficult for sellers to sell their products on these platforms. So I would suggest, and what we will sort of looking at is some reconsideration of certain aspects of the draft rules. Of course, you know, when it comes to mis-selling, when it comes to, you know, issues around grievance redressal mechanism, those are welcome aspects. And that's great, but we need to be very focused and targeted. If the objective is to protect consumer interest, then that should be the focus. Here, it looks like the government is trying to do everything within the ambit of the rules, which are already being taken care of in different regulations.
Kazim, you made a reference to two aspects. One is, of course, you lauded the intention to protect consumer interest, and then you also said that there is a problem with the fallback liability clause. I mean, I'm a layperson, and I've had experiences where you order something, okay, on a website, and then it doesn't get delivered, or there's a problem with it. So isn't it reasonable to expect liability from the person you're interacting with, which is the e-commerce platform? If you are not going to hold them accountable, then where is the accountability going to come from? So what is the problem basically with the liability clause?
So I think there is no issue when it comes to liability. I think liability should be there. But the idea is, what are we sort of trying to address here? If a seller is selling a wrong product, then the seller should definitely be held liable. When it comes to the platform itself, and platforms host a lot of sellers, and of course they should have strong due diligence mechanisms where they check on the legitimacy of the seller, and only then they should allow the sellers to proceed. But if there are mistakes which take place on the platform, holding the platform liable would go against the principle of safe harbor. And if every time a seller's mistake, a platform is held liable, then it will be very difficult for the platform to sort of, you know, organize and operate as a marketplace. Instead, platforms should have strong due diligence mechanisms. They should, their due diligence mechanisms should definitely be looked into. They should make it as robust as possible, and the government should definitely look into that aspect. But after having done due diligence, if there are some mistakes which take place, sellers should be held liable for those mistakes. Holding the platform regularly liable for those mistakes would really sort of hurt the entire ecosystem, because that sort of go against the whole principle of safe harbor, which is, okay, if I've done due diligence as an e-commerce platform, and then it comes to my notice that there are problems, then of course you should take the seller down. But if having done due diligence, it hasn't come to your notice, maybe after that there has been some mistakes which have taken place, then there could be a process where you give warnings to the seller or remove the seller from the platform itself. But to hold the platform liable per se would be a little challenging for the operation of the e-commerce entities.
Okay. One of the other rules are to do with tightening the norms for displaying the country of origin, right, and so on, right? So what is the logic behind having this?
So look, I think here the objective very simple, that the government wants to promote domestic goods, which is great. The government wants to promote the Atmanirbhar Bharat campaign, promote made in India products, goods to the people on the e-commerce platform, which I feel as an intention is a great intention, is a great step forward. But at the same time, we should not create this in a way that we start discriminating against products of countries of different countries, basically, origin of different countries. So I think there we have to be a little sort of careful. On one hand, it's I would say this is something which is important also, because I think we want to create a domestic ecosystem where we want to give options and possibilities to our own manufactured goods to be sold and promoted on these e-commerce platforms. But at the same time, create a level playing field. Let others' good be, you know, sold on the platform, which the government, of course, is allowing to do, but not overtly discriminate. But yes, having a sort of a aspect where you can highlight, you know, the display of Indian country origin. In my opinion, it's not a challenge per se. It's interesting to see how they will regulate this or how this will be operationalized. If it's balanced operationalization, if the way it's delivered, it's balanced, then I think it's not a problem. But if it tends to be overtly discriminatory, then there could be, of course, challenges when it comes to imported goods, because at the end of the day, the user, the consumer deserves best quality. And we hope that the quality comes from Indian goods. But at the same time, if there are other goods which are giving you better quality, then the consumer should also have the option of having the visibility of those goods on the platform itself. So promote Indian goods, but don't push back imported goods as well. I think that's how this aspect should be operationalized.
Okay, Kazim, you just made a reference to the importance of not having, you know, discrimination between different products, and also having a level playing field. I mean, that's a very good point. Now, this brings us to another interesting situation here, because there seems to be a widespread cases of a combination of preferred vendors and online discounting, which has sort of which is perceived to have impacted the growth of offline retailers in India, given especially that most e-commerce sites have preferred vendors, and preferred vendors is clearly you are favoring certain kinds of vendors who get the bulk of the business which is generated on your platform. And this, to me, is a textbook case of an uneven playing field. So how do you, what is your comment on this?
So when it comes to related parties not being able to sell on the marketplace, I think the aspect here is very clear, that the government and the Competition Commission of India are already looking at it. The restriction of related parties on the marketplace has already been placed on PressNote 2. So I think when there is already a regulation when it comes to PressNote 2, and you know, you already, the government has already decided, and there is clear demarcation on who can sell on the marketplace when sellers are excluded from the definition of e-commerce, then I feel that to bring this again in these rules is an overlap of regulation, in my opinion. And this issue is already being looked by the antitrust regulator. And I think that process, we should wait for that process to take place. And whatever the decision is, the parties and the e-commerce entities and the sector will have to comply with it. So my submission on this is that there is already a defined process within the existing regulatory ecosystem of the country. The competition regulators are looking into this aspect. PressNote 2 has already come with respect to the restriction. So I don't feel that there is another need to introduce this here when it comes to the consumer protection rules, because this is not a consumer protection issue per se. It's an industry economic issue more than a consumer protection issue. So, and it's already being looked at. So I don't feel there is a need to jumble up this into this consumer protection aspect.
Okay. So you're saying this is not a consumer protection issue. It's more like a industry issue to do with competition and so on. Okay, fair enough. Now, moving on to another aspect, like to do with flash sales. I mean, what is the discomfort with flash sales per se? Like, why is it even a question?
So as per the draft rules, flash sales has been defined as a sale organized by an e-commerce entity at significantly reduced prices and other promotional offers for a predetermined period of time on select goods with an intent to draw large customers. Now, when we look at flash sales and this definition, it's no different from flash sales which take place in the conventional offline retail markets, which offer big discounts or sale. You know, when you go to a shop and a mall and you have these big sales going on, end of season sales, you go and buy a lot of goods. Maybe you buy shirts or trousers or whatever, you clothes or etc. So the same concept is being applied in the online ecosystem. So I don't see there is any difference in terms of flash sales in the offline world versus flash sales in the online world. And flash sales help consumers. It benefits consumers. You know, at the end of the day, a lot of people prefer buying and get drawn into buying goods because of flash sales. It's at a reduced price. It helps them buy goods at a reduced price. So in my opinion, there is no issue with this aspect per se. And you know, you already allow flash sales in the offline space. So why not in the online space?
Do offline retailers have an objection to it?
I don't know yet. I haven't spoken to offline retailers on this issue per se. I don't have knowledge. But it's clear that when you're looking at the experts talking about it or people looking into these aspects, this flash sales issue has been brought up as something which actually within our consumer protection rules, you are prohibits. You are going counterproductive to the objective of consumer protection, because as a consumer, let's say you go and buy something on an e-commerce entity, you know, you go on Big Basket or whatever platform you may use. The idea is if I get it for a discounted rate, it's good for me, right? So at the end of the day, me as a consumer will get impacted if I am not allowed to exercise my right of buying goods at a discounted price. Although I can do that if I go to an offline market. So the whole idea of discounts is to enhance the interest of consumers, and to prohibit that and to bring it within the Consumer Protection Act is a little counterproductive.
Okay. Now moving on to the data related rule, what is wrong in the government trying to ensure that e-retailers do not use the data collected through their business for unfair advantage or have links with sellers on their platforms? I mean, this rule seems perfectly fair, or is there a problem with this as well?
So when it comes to data related issues, and I think when it comes to e-retailers, not using the data to sort of their unfair advantage, I think the idea of unfair advantage is very critical, and we need to define what is an unfair advantage. And again, when it comes to data related aspects and how data is mined, how it's collected, processed, monetized, again, is an issue which is being looked at within the aspect of the Personal Data Protection Bill. There is a committee by the parliament which is looking into these issues, and the bill hopefully will come through in this upcoming monsoon session. We hope it gets tabled. And the whole idea of tech companies or organizations collecting, monetizing, processing data to gain advantage or not is being looked at again by this law. So in my opinion, let that process take place, and there is an overlap here once again with the whole data issues. In my opinion, I think let that process go ahead. Whatever the bill will be or the law will be, that will be overarching, that will operate in the entire country and all platforms, not just e-commerce, but social media or payments, etc. They will all have to comply with that law. So that will cut across data practices of any tech company, Indian, foreign, whatever. The idea is to make sure that you regulate the space through the existing mechanisms and through the right mechanisms which have already been in place to bring in or duplicate various aspects of regulation in the tech space within multiple laws and regulations will only confuse the ecosystem, and it will confuse the government and the regulators themselves, because then you don't know which law you have to follow. Do I follow the PDP law or do I follow the Consumer Protection Act? right? Or do I follow the IT Act or do I follow the privacy law? So it becomes very confusing. I think we need to be very mindful of making sure that we are following the right process for whatever issue that process is designed for. So if there is a competition issue, CCI is the nodal agency. Antitrust regulator will take a call. Once antitrust regulator takes a call, it is then overarching for the entire ecosystem. When it comes to privacy, PDP bill is the go-to regulation. When it comes to IT Act, IT issues, intermediary liability, the IT Act is go-to. So the idea is to have these laws in place and make sure that we are focusing on making sure that we apply those laws which have been designed for those issues to avoid overlap.
Okay, you're saying that these e-commerce rules are in various ways sort of overlapping with other regulatory frameworks that we all either already have in place or are in the process of putting in place. Okay, so how do these rules then compare with the e-commerce regulatory regimes in other markets, such as the EU, for instance? Because the center has already, in a meeting, told entities like Flipkart and Amazon, like, you know, they should go and look at how other countries have sort of framed their jurisdictions here and how tough their governments are before, you know, they come and raise issues in India. So how do they compare with other countries' e-commerce regulations?
Right. So let's look at EU, for example. The EU consumer protection guidelines solely focus on addressing the grievances of the consumers and does not delve into any other issue. For example, under the directive EU 2019/770, the European Union has already laid down certain guidelines with respect to how the consumer grievance arising out of the digital contents and digital service may be addressed. This directive already lays down common rules governing the conformity of digital content or a digital service with the contract and remedies in the event of a failure to comply. So the e-commerce regulatory regime in these countries are more of self-regulation, keeping consumer interests at the core, and suitable legal framework have been put in place to ensure that the contracts governing the transaction, including digital content or digital service, are having the provisions to ensure transparency and mechanism for redressal of the grievances of consumers, right? So the EU protection, I mean, the EU consumer protection guideline is only looking at a very narrow aspect of the whole regulation of tech or e-commerce. What is it looking at? It's looking at the grievances of consumers. It's not looking at data flows. It's not looking at sales. It's not looking at competition issues. It's not looking at, FDI. It's not looking at any other aspect which are already being looked into, let's say, by the GDPR. So the problem of privacy, data protection is being looked at by the GDPR. The problem of intermediaries is being looked at by some other act in the EU. And the consumer protection guideline is focusing on grievance redressal, which is already there, in fact, in the rules. So that's a very laudable step forward. So the government has done a lot of great things when it comes to grievance redressal mechanisms, compliances, these compliance officers, making sure that preventing mis-selling or any other sort of issue that may arise on the e-commerce platform, right? But there are some of these aspects which are beyond the scope, which is different from the EU guideline as just discussed.
Okay, so you're saying the EU's regulatory framework for e-commerce is very narrowly focused only on consumer protection and consumer interest and doesn't get into other domains such as privacy, etc. Now, you briefly made a reference to foreign investment in this respect. I mean, are there issues with regards to foreign investment that could affect retailers such as Amazon, who, according to some reports, may be circumventing existing FDI rules or norms that might be applicable to them?
No, absolutely. There have been certain issues which have been flagged. And once again, the matter is already in the High Court of Karnataka. And let's see how that shapes up. And it's already under investigation by the CCI, the Competition Commission of India. So,
like, what are these issues?
So the issue is around, the whole investment in the inventory ecosystem. And the government is looking at protecting the Indian ecosystem. But at the same time, there are debates happening which are saying, okay, should you allow greater FDI in the inventory model when it comes to e-commerce? So that's the broad issue, which is being looked at by the courts, by the CCI. So I would suggest, I mean, we are also looking at how that is unfolding. The jurisprudence is evolving when it comes to these issues. And it's interesting to see how the courts and the CCI rule in terms of what is the right way forward with respect to FDI.
Okay. We briefly touched upon Atmanirbhar Bharat earlier, and the intent to promote domestic businesses. To come back to this once again, there is a rule which states that companies should provide alternative suggestions to customers before they make a purchase to ensure fair opportunity for domestic goods. Now, do you think a rule like this, fair or not is a separate question, but do you think a rule like this will aid domestic businesses?
So I think we discussed this earlier as well, that, you know, highlighting domestic goods, and I mean, when you're speaking of alternative suggestions. Look, I think as long as we're not discriminating against imported goods, it's not a problem. As long as we are operationalizing this in a manner where other imported goods are also seen, because at the end of the day, consumer interest and quality is critical. If the Indian made products can provide the best quality, that's the ideal scenario. But if they can't, then if there are imported goods which can, then consumers should be able to see those goods. Those goods should not be hidden or anything like that. So as long as they're visible, and if Indian goods are being promoted, I don't think that's an issue.
Okay. And is there at some level a one-size-fits-all approach in these new e-commerce rules that could perhaps disproportionately affect smaller e-commerce players who may not have the bandwidth to sort of to execute the kind of compliance which is called for?
So I think this issue has been raised before in many discussions, and you know, look, there is a need to regulate the space. There is a need to enhance consumer protection when it comes to e-commerce, and not just e-commerce, larger operation of tech companies and the tech ecosystem. How do we achieve our objectives without affecting or impacting the interest of small businesses, the interest of consumers, the interest of traders, etc., is, I think, a very delicate balance to have. And I don't think there is a silver bullet when it comes to this. So the government is thinking, okay, let's propose something. Let's look at a draft consumer guideline. Yes, there are challenges with it. And these are draft rules, which is why these are not final rules. And the government understands that, yes, these are not final and these are draft rules, and we take comments and then let's see how it evolves. As an evolving ecosystem, the e-commerce ecosystem, and the laws will also evolve with time, with feedback, with critique, with ideas, with suggestions from various quarters. At this stage, it might look like a one-size-fits-all because it's an introduction or a first step towards regulating with the interests of consumers. Once this is honed a little more, once it becomes more nuanced, then I would expect, and everybody understands that, that is the time when, you know, you amend these laws and you amend these rules, that you will arrive at a regulation which is narrow, which is targeted, which is meeting the objective clearly, and which is making sure that, you know, you are tackling the problem without affecting other aspects of the ecosystem. So I think that's the journey we have to get to. This is the start to that journey. And I'm sure and I hope that with comments, with suggestions, the rules are sort of improved, enhanced. And as it goes forward, we sort of start becoming narrow in our approach, because having a broad overarching mechanism with respect to regulation is not going to help. It might create more problems than already. So I think the first step, of course, would be to keep the focus to consumer protection. Second would be to make sure that, you know, we are tackling the problem. And a lot of good ideas have come through. Implementing those, operationalizing it without discrimination, creating a level playing field for all entities, and creating an ecosystem where, of course, you create an ecosystem where domestic goods prosper and people buy those goods as well. And you improve ease of doing business. You don't make e-commerce more compliance heavy, but at the same time, you get the right kind of compliance when it comes to grievances of consumers. So those are the delicacies of regulation, and you never get, it's very clear in any regulatory ecosystem, in a new space like technology or any space, when you're creating regulations for the first time, you never hit the nail on the head in the first go itself. You improve as you go forward, you improvise. And because this is a new field of regulation, it will take time to sort of make it the best regulation as we can globally. But yeah, I think this is a step in the right direction, but with improvements, we should be able to get to a point where we can confidently say, yeah, you know, we are able to meet the interests of consumers, able to regulate the space as it should be, and able to promote the interest of Indians.
Right. I think that's a pretty fine summing up of what we've been discussing. So basically, like 2-3 takeaways would be to have consumer protection as a narrow focus, ensure that there is no discrimination as such, and then also ensure a level playing field going forward. Kazim, thank you so much for talking to us. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much, Sampath. Pleasure is mine. Thank you so much.
This is the InFocus podcast from The Hindu.